Welcome to the weekly podcast of River Valley Church. We're glad you're here. Our heart is to lead people to Jesus and launch them into their God-given purpose. So we pray you would encounter God in a fresh, new way today. To learn more about our church, visit rivervalley.org. Now, let's tune in to this week's message.
Well, I am excited because we are bringing back a series today that we did 7 years ago called Made for Mondays. It's hard to believe that we did it 7 years ago. And I have a picture from the original series, and I want them to throw that up on the screen, a picture of me from the original series. Yeah, you'll see that I had more black hair and less gray hair, and the hair moved from my head now to my face, you know. And man, I'm like, who is that guy? But I want to let you know that we're going to, this will be a new series. We're using some of that content, but we're trying to do new series with this. And then also have that available for you online so you can get 4 parts from that one and then 3 parts from this one. And you can watch it again if you watched it before. If you never saw it before, you can get that. And if you saw in there, we had the mug, the Made for Mondays mug. And I just want to let you know that we brought the mug back. We have another mug for Made for Mondays. And I'm told this is a double wall mug, so that's good. Like that, you keep your drink hot or cold. But anyways, you can have these. You can get these at your campus. I think they're 1 for $15 and 2 for $25, so find a friend and save some money. All right, and do it that way. But we've got the Made for Mondays mug, and we're going to look at work. We're going to look at work, and I want to jump right in today and just tell you there's 2 points to today's message. The first one is this: your work matters to God. And the second one is, God matters to your work. All right? Your work matters to God, and God matters to your work. And I want to go all the way back to creation and take a look at this and show you how your work matters to God. And I want to let you know that every ancient culture has a creation story or a creation account. And the Bible stands out as unique. Our creation account that God has given to us stands out as unique. And I want to point this out. In the Babylonian culture, the god Marduk, he basically says, let's create somebody lower than the gods to do this mundane thing called work so that the gods can just relax. And so in their creation account, God wants to do nothing, but he wants to make a man or mankind to do all the work so God can sit around and do nothing. And work is seen as something that is just below God, and we're just created. Man was just created so that God wouldn't have to work. In Greek mythology, the gods give Pandora a box, and they tell Pandora, don't open it. Don't open the box. There's all sorts of evil in there. Don't open it. But she can't, you know, resist, and she opens it up and releases all the evils on earth, including the evil of work. So think about it. In the Greek mythology, it's like, it's work is a curse. And it was in the box, like, no, now you opened up the box and we have to work. That's their account. Aristotle once said that the ability, that the unemployment, the ability to live without having to work was a primary qualification for a genuinely worthwhile life. He was saying, if you could just sit around and live and not have to work, that's the ultimate pinnacle. He was Gen Z before there was Gen Z, you know, he was living in his parents' basement or something, I don't know, but. In the Egyptian culture, the king would be called the image of God, but the workers were never called that. Never, the common workers were way inferior. And I believe all of this influences us today, and we feel like our work doesn't matter. I feel like there's a frustration, and Gallup poll would say this. They found in 2022 that only 1 in 4 employees around the world feel engaged at work. Really feel like they're coming alive at work. And work stress is at an all-time high. And I want you to know that your work matters. Your work matters. And our creation account is different than those others. And I'm going to show you how it stands out. Because God ordains work. And he starts the Bible off with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's like he's working first verse of the Bible. And he's like, I'm working. I'm a creator God. And not only does it describe him as creator, it describes him as gardener, artist, potter, shepherd, king, homemaker, and builder. God is working. And in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. But the seventh day, on Genesis 2:2, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. He started it with work. He completes it. He invites us to do this work with him. Now, God not only works, but he like finds delight in work. Isn't that interesting? These other accounts are like, well, if we could just create man so we don't have to work. God's like, I'm working and I'm doing this. And at the end of the day of work, I sit back and I look at it and go, that is very good. And I think that must be where men get that from, where we fix anything. How many know what I'm talking about? I fix a door handle and I'm like, honey, come here. Look at this. It's very good. Like, let's just look at the door handle. I did that. You could try it. It's going to work, you know? Becca's like, yeah, I've been working all day. I haven't been admiring anything. But he commissions mankind to work with him. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them, mankind, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Subdue. Subdue is a word that allows us to work with God. And he's saying there's untapped potential here. There's untapped potential in what I've created, and I want you to work with me. And I want you to go and I want you to develop this, and it needs maintenance and it needs upkeep. And I've invited you to be a part of this work with me. Tim Keller said this, God left creation with deep untapped potential for cultivation that people were to unlock with their labor. Think about this. You know, there's this thing called Easter eggs where people leave these little hidden things that you're supposed to find. God's like, I have this whole creation filled with Easter eggs that you get to find. If you don't know what an Easter egg is, talk to a Gen Z. All right, they'll tell you, they'll help you, all right. But there's little hidden things, and you know, if you own a Tesla, they have little Easter eggs, little things, and if you find it, the doors will open, the lights will go on, and things like that. But God's like, oh, I've got better Easter eggs. And he was just waiting for somebody, oh, they found it, they found penicillin, and he's excited. And he's like, oh, look at that, they found electricity. Oh, nuclear, they found that too. And he's like looking at all these things that he's created. And he's like, it's untapped potential and it's right there and I'm looking for you to find it. I just was, even though I was thinking of this, I was like wondering like if God's just waiting, like waiting for us to find the Easter egg of like, I've been waiting for you to find that Easter egg that would cure cancer. I've been waiting for you to understand that. Until then, let's just keep praying for miracles. But he's got these untapped things. Jesus said this about God working, that God is still working. When Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they're like, you can't heal on the Sabbath. That's a rest day. He said this about God. He said in John 5:17, in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. So God wasn't like at day seven, and he's like, now I'm done. Now I'm just on vacation. I got mankind to do it. God is still actively working every single day. He's always working. Now, it's a great time for a biblical definition of work, and I've come up with this with my team, and we came up with this definition of work, and I think we'll have it on the screen. Work is the God-ordained function of both man and God by which various mental, physical, and spiritual activities are done joyfully for the purpose of worship to God and the service of others, which are accomplished through our individual God-appointed callings. Let me read it one more time. Work is the God-ordained function of both man and God by which various mental, physical, and spiritual activities are done joyfully for the purpose of worship to God and the service of others, which are accomplished through our individual God-appointed callings. Your work matters. Your work matters, and you have a calling to do your job. God has gifted you in different, I'm in awe of people. Like if you don't know this and you, if you've been around for a while, you know that I'm not mechanically inclined. That's why if I do the door handle, I'm like, ta-da, you know, like, I mean, I'm in awe of people that like can fix a car or like a plumber. I'm a plumber, I'm just, and people that can build and with the tray, I'm just like, I'm in awe of what they can do and the gift. Like, it's like, you're called, like you're gifted. That's incredible that you can do that. And they're like, no, it's really cool that you can talk. I'm like, it just comes natural. And they're like, well, it just comes natural that I can actually fix things. Like you have a calling that is there. And you don't have to quit your job to work at the church to really have meaning to your life. So many people are like, well, if I could just quit my church, quit my job and work at the church. And, you know, and I said this in the other series, but I'll say it again. Some people think like if you come to work at the church, we just give you a prayer book and a guitar and go hang around with Ryan Williams and just write songs. That's all we do around here. And then we show up on the weekend and everybody serves, you know, it's amazing. You know, we give you a computer. We give you a workstation. We have metrics. We have things that your performance is tied to, okay? Now, I will say this. Our culture is amazing. You might say, I wish I could be in the church culture. By the way, I want to throw this invitation out there, and I know when I'm opening up here, but if you're a business owner, a leader in a company, I want to invite you even to come to one of our staff meetings, our all-staff meetings. I think you could learn something about the culture that we have here, celebrating one another. And I'll talk about this even at the end. We give away the bowling trophy. I'm just telling you, you're like, all right, you got to come and be a part of it. I'm telling you, our culture is amazing. You could take the culture, but you don't have to quit your job in the marketplace to say, now it matters because I'm at the church. Now, with our work, we got to realize it's not a curse. It's a calling. It's a calling. In 1983, sociologists found out that there are three categories. If you saw it as a job, you weren't that happy. If you saw it as a career, you were happier. But if you saw what you do as a calling, like God uniquely gifted me, and he wants me to use this for his glory and for his honor, you were the happiest. You were the most fulfilled. And I want you to know, before the fall of man, going back to creation, the world was perfect. In Genesis 2:5, it says, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. God's like, I've got this creation. I need somebody to work it. And in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is before the fall of man. This is before sin has entered the world. And God's like, there's work to be done, and there's a man. I need man to do the work. And it's good. It's a beautiful thing. And then after the fall, when sin enters, in Genesis 3:23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground. So he still had to work from which he had been taken. See, man changed after sin entered the world, but work was still there. It was there before, and it's there after. And with all this, we have to realize that our work is a form of worship. It is a form of worship. When you are working, when you're at your job, you are working. And you're working unto the Lord is what Colossians 3 says. It says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I had to remind myself in that in my very first job, I was a busboy. My very first job, busboy, clearing tables, you know, in Egan at, it was called Durning's, now I think it's Cherokee Steakhouse. That was my very first job. And I remember one day somebody had a mess in the bathroom and they said, well, busboy, it's your job. And they said, you get to go in there and clean it. And I went in there with the other busboy. He goes, hey, we could just kind of make it look good and not have to do all the things. I said, no, we got to do this. Like, this is under the Lord. And I had to remind myself that whole time, this is under the Lord. This is under the Lord. This is under the Lord. Under the Lord. Under the Lord. All right, praise God. Under the Lord. All right. This is a form of worship. When you're working and doing it under the Lord. And by the way, one of the words for work in the Bible means work, but it also means worship. Same word. Means work and worship. And in Exodus 10:3, this is where we see Moses, he's saying the children of Israel need to get out of slavery. And in Exodus 10:3, he uses this word, same word for work, and he uses it for worship. It says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. Same word, work, worship. And God's like, I've got something for them. They're gonna worship me on mission for me, doing what I want them to do, building my kingdom, like they're gonna be worshiping me. Martin Luther understood this and he was like, work matters. This is a beautiful thing. And he said, every job that is honorable is a beautiful thing. And he even said this, and Martin Luther was famous for this because he said, God is literally feeding us by using the hands of other people. Even the milkmaid, God is using the milkmaid, and it's as if God is having her get the milk to get it to you, and like God is feeding you through her work. It's a beautiful thing, and it brings honor to the workplace, and it says every legitimate job brings glory to God, and God is using you to bring electricity to our home, and God is using you to cure that disease, and God is using you to make sure that we have gas to go to where we need to go, and God is using you so we can stay on mission, and every job is being done for his glory and for his honor. And it was saying, like, it makes your job spiritual. Like, it's a spiritual thing. Like, I am helping people get there. I'm helping them do that. And there should be a joy that is there to your job. See, we have this idea, though, that there's spiritual work and there's secular work. And spiritual work is the things with the guitars and all that. Okay, that's up there. And the secular is down here. And we kind of feel bad, you know. And we need to see it as a sphere. And all the things are in there. All these beautiful things are in there. Church, school, art, home, music, labor, law, sex, medicine, agriculture. All these things are in that sphere. And when they go away from the things of God, it's evil. And when they go towards the things of God and they're used for his glory, it's good. And God's like, this is beautiful. This is good. You can take your whole self and use that for my glory and for my honor. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And you can ponder that. You could fill your Made for Mondays mug and just go ponder that one for a while. Like, I could take everything I have and use it for his glory. How am I taking what I have and bringing it into God's realm and taking it his way so it's used for his glory? You could ponder that one and fill that up and just say, God, I want to use this for your glory. Now, your work matters to God. Your work matters to God. And the second thing is, God matters to your work. God matters to your work. World-renowned banker and Christian Ken Costa said, we will take our faith to work only if we know that our work is valuable to God. I believe that. When you know that your work is valuable, like, God, I'm here at this company and I'm serving you and this is valuable and you have me right where you want me and I'm doing this for your glory. And when you start to understand that, you're like, wait, I want to bring my faith here. And I want to share my faith at work. I want to open up my mouth. I want to use what I have for your glory and for your honor. Ken also went on to say a couple more things that I thought were so fascinating. He said, my workstation is my worship station. Some of you need to rethink your workstation. You know, I got news for you. You might be the head worship leader at Target Corporation right now at your workstation. You're like, you never thought that you were the head worship leader, but you are, or Best Buy, or the school district, or Ford, or Amazon, or Apple, or Exxon. You get the point. You're like, you are the lead worship leader. And you're like, I'm worshiping God in this place, and I'm in the school district. I'm worshiping God. I didn't even realize my workstation is a place that I am worshiping. And I'm not talking about putting headphones on. I'm talking about doing hard work. And worshiping God with hard work so that everybody says, like, wow, why are you working so hard? Well, I'm the lead worship leader at Target. What? I didn't even know they had one of those. Well, not officially, but yeah. Okay, that's why I'm working so hard. I'll never forget. I worked at Valley Fair for 3 years when I was in high school and college, and for those of you who don't know, I was the guesser. I'll guess your age within 2 years, your weight within 4 pounds, or the month you were born on within 2 months. You can get any prize on any shelf. I did that for 3 years, all right? So I know how much all of you weigh. No, I don't. I don't have a clue. I forgot. Like, it's just like a gift, you know, you kind of size people up. But I did that. I remember one time this guy came up to me and goes, hey, don't work so hard. Don't work so hard. You're kind of making us all look bad. Don't work so hard. Don't try so hard. Ease up. And I was like, what do you mean ease up? He's like, don't work so hard. Ease up, you know, come on. Your numbers are too good. Ease up, you know. I just wanted to give an honorable return to the Lord. And I wasn't working for Valley Fair. I was working for God. And I was trying to give the best return that I could. And you could say, God, I desire to give the best return. I give the best return. I'm gonna be the head worship leader, but with hard work, not with headphones. One more Ken Costa quote. He said, we're called to advance God's kingdom, sharing the sphere of goodness as we operate with God's values. We're going to advance God's kingdom at work. Billy Graham once said that the average Christian knows about 50 people that are not Christians. most of them being the people that are at their workplace. So how are you gonna stand out? How are you gonna be bright? How are you gonna speak up at work? And Barna surveyed Christians and he said, what are your responsibilities in the workplace? Christians, what do you need to do at the workplace? God's got you there, and if you're the head worship leader, if you're there that's trying to make a difference for God and trying to bring your faith to work because God matters to your work, what are you supposed to do? And they said, number one, we should act ethically. Number two, we should speak the truth. Number three, we should demonstrate morality. Number four, we should make friends. How many know people could be one to Jesus if we were just friendly at work? Sometimes I go to workplace, I see people and they're like, womp, womp. I'm like, get a different job. You're like, you know, all right. Practice humility, withstand temptation. Do excellent work to glorify God, serving others, speaking out against unfairness and injustice. The survey said we should help bring grace and peace to others. Number 11 was help mold the culture of my workplace. And number 12 was share the gospel. Those were in order of importance, but I think what people were trying to say from that survey was, as I'm being the lead worship leader, as I'm working hard, as I'm doing these other things, I will earn the right to share my faith. I'm not gonna lead with that, like welcome. You know, for those of you that didn't know, I'm the lead worship leader at 3M and just thought I'd call a team meeting and share my, you know, how many of you are not gonna do that? You're gonna earn the right through your hard work and through your worship unto God, using your work, like Colossians says, unto him, you're gonna earn the right to be heard. I think about two people, one famous and one sent from our church. John Maxwell says this. He goes and does these leadership seminars, charges all this money, travels around the world. People send him all everywhere. And at the end, he says, there's one bonus session. If you wanna hear it, there's no obligation. You've already got all you've paid for, but there's one more bonus session I'd like to share, but it's not mandatory, it's optional. And then he shares about his faith because he's earned the right. But there's a guy from our church, Ben, that we've sent out from our church. And he ministers in the military, former military. And he goes in and he's teaching military now emotional intelligence for their military, for the soldiers. And he's teaching them this. And at the end of the emotional intelligence thing, he says, all right, that's what I was paid for to do. The next one is bonus. It is not mandatory. You do not need to stay. But if you want to, I'm gonna share the secret of my life and why I do what I do. And he says, we're gonna take a break, come back, totally optional. He says over 60 to 70% come back for his optional thing. And then he shares his faith. He's earning the right to share his faith with his excellence and with all those other things that he's doing, the value that he's adding. And I just wanna ask you this question. Does your work draw your coworkers to Christ? Do you do those 12 things or 11 before you share your faith? Do you do those things in such a way that you're earning the right to share your faith at work and that it has the respect of your coworkers? And if it doesn't, I would encourage you to apologize to your coworkers and then get better. I would encourage you to apologize. Like, hey guys, I just wanna let you know, I feel convicted about this. My work is worship unto my God, and I've done a terrible job, and I wanna prove it to you. I'm gonna do different, I'm gonna be better, and you can be better at this so that your work could draw your coworkers to Christ. Now, in the previous series, I taught on each of these. I just wanna mention them, but you'd have to watch the old series to get the full points or all these points, all right? But these were some 6 B's that I said for work, and I just wanted to share them with you. Be a great worker. If you're gonna share your faith, be a great worker. Be bright, don't hide your light. So many of you don't wanna be bright. You go into work and you wanna fit in, and you try to fit in, and you fit in, and you fit in, and then you think, oh no, now they don't even think I have a light. How will I even flick the light switch on? Because they don't even know, and I've kinda laughed at the wrong things and done the wrong things and gone along with the wrong things that I didn't mean to. Be bright. Number 3, be consistent. Number 4, be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 talks about be ready for, like when they ask, don't be like, well, it's just I love working here. You know, never thought I could make it at Best Buy and I am, you know, praise God. You know, I mean, that, be ready, all right? Number 5, be bold. Be bold. They talk about, a lot of corporations are saying, bring your full self to work. That's the thing. They're saying that for every other group, not us. Like, bring your full self to, bring your full self, bring that too, bring that, bring that. Not that. Okay, no, I'm bringing my full self to work. I'm gonna be bold. I'm gonna bring my full self to work. And then number six, be sure that God is with you. He's with you. He has you there for a reason. Now, if we're gonna change this world, if we're gonna win people to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus has to leave this building. He has to leave here and we have to go out. That's why I said at the beginning of the year, 5,000 salvations in the service and 5,000 salvations outside. And by the way, I am loving the emails and the texts and the letters of people like, led this person to faith, led this person, my neighbor got saved, my family member got saved, coworker, this. I just am loving that. But we've got to have Jesus leave the building and we've got to be sure that he's with us. Now, this last one is new to this series for sure. It's new to us as we navigate moving forward. And I want to talk about remote work. Remote work. Because it's changed for us, for so many of us, that we can do remote work. It was a gift. It was a gift during that period of time where we could work from home and we could be there with the kids. We could be there with the family. And some people are like, man, I can't wait till the day they call me back. Get me out of here. But for others, it was a huge gift. It felt like back in the old days, like where the blacksmith and the cobbler and the farmer, like it felt like too far from the farm for all of us, you know, kind of right in there. But if we're going to be the lights that we need to be, and work is such a big part of people's lives, Jordan Rayner said this about being a light when we have remote work. He's an entrepreneur and an author. He said this. He said, number one, you may need to sacrifice your right to work from home. If you're going to be on mission for God, you might need to sacrifice your right to work from home. It's hard to build relationships from home. It's hard to be a light in the workplace when you're just on a laptop. So he said, you might have to think like 1 Corinthians 10, where the Apostle Paul says, like, I have the right to do this, but it's not beneficial. I know some people are like, no, don't you dare take away my work from home. I'm just saying, pray about it. Pray about it, because if you're on mission for God and God has some people in the going back and they're return to the office, but it's optional, you might need to lay down that right and go back more so you can shine in those moments and be in proximity to those God moments and have those moments that just sprout up, because those don't happen when you're working from home. You might say, well, my workplace is so ungodly. That's why I'm staying away. All the more reason to get back there. We need the salt and the light there. We need it. Second thing he said is be strategic about how to build relationships virtually. If your workplace is staying remote or you don't feel like God's saying give it up, your family dynamics, your situation requires you to stay working remotely, be strategic. You could have casual virtual lunches as a team. You know, people go out to eat all the time, like, where are we going? Oh, we're going there. You can say, hey, come on, we're a team. We're gonna have a casual virtual lunch. We're gonna eat lunch together. We're gonna compare who has the best lunch. All right, you know, whatever. And then he said, leave time on Mondays as you get started on the work week to share what happened that weekend and bring your full self to work. What happens? Oh, I went to work this weekend or I went to church this weekend and Pastor did a sermon on Made for Mondays, and it made me realize, like, my work matters to God. It was really good. If you want the link, I can send it to you later. You know, you can share and bring your full self to work, but make sure there's time to share that in Mondays. And then have your Zoom meetings open early so that people can arrive early and have small talk, and there could be opportunities where people can share rather than it being business, and you tune in right at the very second that it starts. And then you put up that fake screen and you never move, yeah, because it's a fake screen. You know, don't do that. All right, arrive early, be engaged. And then another thing you could do is just show up on your Zoom and just drink from your Made for Money. There you go, you could do that. All right. Third one would be this that he said about remote working, expand your view of your coworkers. Your neighbor could be in the cubicle next to you. View it that way. Neighbors right there. Maybe you want to do a neighborhood lunch. Say, hey, about 10 of us that are working from home. I thought, you know, once a week we could do lunch together. Put some humanity on working from home. I can't even eat with my coworkers from there, but we're all working from home, and why don't we get together and have those moments and expand your view of your coworkers? You could also have a block party and say, God, it's my neighbors. These are my neighbors. These are the people that I want to reach for your glory. You can brainstorm new ideas. See, your work matters to God. God matters to your workplace. And I want to let you know, God's at work. God's at work there already. And if you haven't been joining him, I encourage you to start joining God in what he's doing at your workplace. He has you there for a reason. I said this 7 years ago, and I stand by it today. Pastors are envious of the opportunity that you have to go. And they say most of the people that you know are coworkers, and most of the people you know that aren't saved are coworkers. Well, working at the church, if they're not saved, we're in trouble. I mean, you know, we're envious. We're envious that God allows you to be salt and light in those places, that God entrusted you with that work. He says, I've got you there for a reason. You are the head worship leader. You are going to earn the right. You are working unto me. I have gifted you that way, and you are making a difference, and I have you right where I want you. So, Lord, I just pray right now that you would help all of us to realize there's a gifting that is unique and different for each one of us. And those of us in the church world, we're here to equip these people. Your church, that's all we're doing. We're equipping them. That's our job. That's our working for you. We're equipping them so that they can be more effective as they go forward being your disciples. And as they're used in the various places all around this world, God, I pray that they would work unto you, that they would be lights, that they would earn the right, that they would do all those things. And they would say, God, I was made for this. I feel your pleasure when I'm working for you and working as unto you. So I thank you, God, for that. And I pray a blessing and an anointing and an increase and a favor on them in the marketplace, wherever they are at. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.